Operators are standing by. You know those ads? Ads that draw you in because they promise you the world. Your life will be so much better if you just buy this. It's just $10 a down, $10 a month for 10 years. Right? And you know, you get that thing. Have you ever done that? You get that thing, you get it home, and it lasts 2 weeks. And you still make payments. And here's the message all of that is based on. If you buy the right stuff, then you will be happy. Buy this. Look at all these lovely people taking this prescription that causes diarrhea. See, they're happy. And if you buy this drug, you'll be happy too. And we have so many things that are like that, that tell us, if you do the right thing, then you'll be happy. The bad news is there's a Christian version of that. That if you are a faithful follower of Jesus, then life will be wonderful. Women will like you. You'll be handsome, smart, right? Have you ever heard that? And can I be honest with you? I would like to believe that. Wouldn't you? Just follow Jesus and everything will be wonderful and you'll be happy, happy, happy. But you know, there's one problem. It's not accurate. That's not accurate. In fact, that whole philosophy can be completely dispelled by one picture. They say pictures are worth 1,000 words. One picture. Jesus on the cross. If that's how the leader of the church is treated, then what is left for us? What will we go through? If that's what Jesus went through, what will we go through as a follower of his? And I think, for the most part, we understand that, right? Jesus went through difficulty. We're going to go through difficulty. We kind of understand that. But there's this nagging question in our head. Why? Why do we have to go through that? Why is there all these? Why? Why is that necessary? Why do we have to go through that? And so that's what we're going to take a look at this morning. We're going to explore the why of going through difficulties. And to do that, we need to set the stage for the story we're going to look at. Israel was God's people, and they decided, God, we don't like this arrangement we have with you. We want a king. And they threw a hissy fit and sat down and threw a temper tantrum on the floor. And God said, okay, fine, you want a king? I'll give you a king. And he gave him a king, and it was King Saul. And King Saul was mediocre at best as a king. And King Saul didn't completely obey God. And then he got impatient because Samuel didn't show up to offer the sacrifice. So Saul went ahead and offered the sacrifice. That's who Saul was. And so the passage we're going to look at is God's response to Saul through Samuel. 1 Samuel 13:13. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. Had you kept it, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now, your kingdom must end. For the Lord has sought a man after his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people, because you have not kept the Lord's command. So Samuel went to find this man that God was referring to, a man after his own heart. 1 Samuel 16. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by outward, by appearance or height, for I have rejected him. God sent Samuel to Jesse's family, and he's going through all his sons. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Samuel asked, "Are these all the sons you have?" Notice what Dad says, Jesse. Notice what he says. "There is still the youngest," Jesse replied, "but he's out in the field watching the sheep and goats." That's another way of saying he's really not worthy of consideration. He's worthless. He's a shepherd. Have you ever been there? Has anyone ever said about you, "Eh"? Forget about them because they are, you can fill in the blank. Forget about them. They're not worth consideration. That's where David was. He's just a worthless shepherd. Samuel said, "Send for him at once. We will not sit down to eat until he arrives." So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, "This is the one. Anoint him." What's the first thing we learn from this passage? Seek God with all of your heart. That's what David did. This is the starting point for dealing with difficulties. It doesn't matter what position you're in the eyes of the culture, in the eyes of your family. Seek God. David used his spare time as a shepherd to learn to play the harp, to worship the Lord, and to write songs. And through that, David sought God so passionately that God noticed. David sought after God so passionately that God noticed. That's what God said about him. Now, practically speaking, what does it mean to seek God? You know, I think if we took a vote this morning, how many of you think we should seek God? I think the hands would go up. Yeah, what does that mean? I don't know. I think we should do it. So part of that is knowing that you're not enough and looking to God for guidance, looking to God for direction, looking to God for your purpose, saying, "I'm not enough." Seeking yourself is saying, "I got this together. I know what I'm doing." And then seeking God is seeking him, pursuing him through his word, being in his word, spending time in prayer, spending time with other followers of Jesus. Making sure that your relationship with God is your top priority in your life. And not allowing other distractions, other pursuits to get in your way of your relationship with God. That's what it means to seek God with all of your heart. And then we go on in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. As David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took out the flask of olive oil he had and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. So from that time on, only good things happened to David, right? Thank you for the sound effects. No. He was doing God's will. We think, well, he's doing God's will. He's got the Holy Spirit on him, right? Olive oil has been poured on him. He's anointed. Everything good will happen from that point on. 1 Samuel 19:1. This is the king. Saul now urged his servants and his son Jonathan to do what? Assassinate David. Wait. I don't think that was in the fine print that David signed up for, was it? Wait a minute.
I thought I'm going to be king. Everything's going to be good. No, now he's running for his life. Remember that obedience doesn't guarantee smooth sailing. Obedience doesn't mean it's going to be smooth sailing. This is one of the hardest lessons I've had to learn over and over and over and over again. Don't you wish that that would be different? Imagine this. Hey, Larry, since I've committed my life to following Jesus, I haven't had a single problem. My wife has stopped nagging me. My neighbor's dog has stopped barking. And my boss at work has the sweetest disposition. That's not reality, is it? That it just isn't. And if that were the case, then people would follow Jesus simply as the path of least resistance. And they would do it because that's the easy thing to do. Some of you have done something very difficult. You have said something that probably, if you're honest, you wanted to take back a time or two. You're laughing and you don't even know what I'm going to say yet. But you'll laugh when I say it. You've said wedding vows. Right? Have you noticed what you say? See, I think most people are going, oh, just read the words so we can be married. Right? Listen to the words. To love and to cherish for better or for worse, for richer or for poor, in sickness and in health, as long as we both shall live. Nobody gets married and sails into happily ever after. Why do we make those vows? Because implicit in marriage is that there will be worse, poorer, and sickness. Right? There will be times when things get worse in marriage. And your smiles tell me you've been through that. And so it's the same with our relationship with God. There, we make a commitment knowing that it's going to be like this. And that's what David experienced. It takes commitment to follow Jesus. And there are some, and you could probably name people. There are some that follow Jesus until things get difficult, and then it's, see you later. And so it takes commitment to keep following Jesus. God is looking to develop strong commitment in his followers. And David found a friend with that kind of commitment. He was mentioned earlier. Notice this. 1 Samuel 23:16. And Saul's son, Jonathan. Who's Jonathan? Jonathan is David's natural enemy. Jonathan was the one who was ready to be king after King Saul. What does it say about this guy? And Saul's son, Jonathan, went to David at Horish and stabbed him through the heart. Oh, wait. No, that's not right. Went to David at Horish and helped him find strength in God. If we want to mature during difficulties, develop strengthening relationships. That's what David did. He developed a relationship with Jonathan. And it's a crazy relationship because they were natural enemies. Imagine the humility that Jonathan had to help the guy that was taking the job that he should have. That was taking the honor that he should have. Incredible humility on the part of Jonathan to do that. Nobody endures difficulties alone. There is this myth of the Lone Ranger that
you know, he rides in and he takes care of everything and he rides out and he's all by himself. At the very beginning, God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. There are more, it's more than just one person being strong. So David runs from King Saul, and he had his chance. He and a couple of his warriors sneak into the camp at night, and they go to where King Saul is sleeping. And they take a spear and a jug of water. Now the warriors with him were like, just say the word and I'll run my spear right through King Saul. And David said, no, don't touch the Lord's anointed. Don't touch the Lord's anointed. Hear this. And then they sneak away and they get far enough away and they start yelling. 1 Samuel 26:15. Well, Abner, you're a great man, aren't you? David taunted. Where in all Israel is there anyone as mighty? So why haven't you guarded your master, the king, when someone came to kill him? This isn't good at all. I swear by the Lord that you and your men deserve to die because you failed to protect your master, the Lord's anointed. Look around. Where is the king's spear and the jug of water that is beside his head? Saul recognized David's voice. David used to work for King Saul. And David could tell when the working relationship wasn't going to pan out when Saul took a spear and threw it at him. And if you have a job, right, and your boss starts throwing spears at you, you know that's the time to get a different job. And that's what David did. So he knew David. And he recognized his voice. Is that you, my son David? And David replied, yes, my lord the king. I can't get over that. David says, my lord the king. What? You dirty, rotten, what? He's trying to kill him. And yet, David shows respect. Yes, my lord the king, why are you chasing me? What have I done? What is my crime? But now let my lord the king listen to my servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, then let him accept my offering. But if this is simply a human scheme, then may those involved be cursed by the Lord. For they have driven me from my home, so I can no longer live among the Lord's people. And they have said, go worship pagan gods. Must I die on foreign soil, far away from the presence of the Lord? Why has the king of Israel come out to search for a single flea? Why does he hunt me down like a partridge on the mountains? And a few verses later, now may the Lord value my life, even as I have valued yours today, may he rescue me from all my troubles. And that was his desire. Isn't that your desire as well? May the Lord rescue me from all my troubles. And that's our desire. But we need to prepare for your character to be tested. Prepare for your character to be tested. Every commitment you make will be tested. You may come to church some Sunday and you're dealing with an issue and you come here and you know you pray and you say, God, today I'm making that commitment. I'm going to live for you. I'm giving that up, whatever that was. I'm living for you. And then you expect Monday life is going to go better because you made that commitment. No, 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 no. You're going to be challenged. You think the temptation was hard before, it's going to be harder. It's going to be more difficult. And why? That doesn't seem to be right because I've settled that issue. You see, every time you make a commitment, think of it as an attack against our enemy, Satan. What is he going to do when he's attacked? attack back. So just know every time you make a commitment, this is going to be challenged. So you better make a commitment and say, I know this is going to be difficult. I'm going to step across the line of commitment. And I'm going to make this commitment solid and know it's going to be challenged. Every time we make that commitment, it's challenged. But keep pushing ahead. Don't let up. Knowing that it's coming is sometimes half the battle. Now, some background before we go on, looking at David's life. While David and his men, to get away from Saul, one of the things they did is they said, let's go hang out with the Philistines and hang out in that area. Saul won't come there looking for me. And so that's what they did. And they left, you know, all the animals that they had collected, all the money they had collected, their wives and their children, they left them at a town called Ziklag. And they were out on one of the raids and they came back and the Amalekites had attacked Ziklag, taken all their stuff and all their family, all their children gone. Notice what it says in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. What did David do? But David found strength in the Lord his God. By the way, spoiler alert, they got their families and their stuff back. Find your strength in God. How could David do that in such a difficult time? How could David find strength in God? What did Jonathan help him do earlier? Jonathan had helped him find his strength in God. You see, a good friend will support you, right? A great friend will help you find strength in God. And that's what Jonathan did. Jonathan helped him find strength in God. Oftentimes, you've probably experienced this, there's something in your life you lean on and you depend on, and God tends to kick that out from underneath you. You know why? Because he hates you? No, because he wants you to learn to depend only on him. God wants you to depend only on him because that's where your real power is. It's leaning on him. And then one more thing that David did, and we read it this morning. Did any of you notice a few more words in the scripture reading at the top of the Psalm 57? Did you notice that? Leave breadcrumbs for others to follow. When you are going through difficulties, leave breadcrumbs. That's a term from Hansel and Gretel. Remember when they were taken, they left breadcrumbs behind them so others could follow them. Psalm 59, the introduction to Psalm 59 says this, for the choir director, a psalm of David regarding the time Saul sent soldiers to watch David's house in order to kill him. To be sung to the tune of, do not destroy. Psalm 52, for the choir director, a psalm of David regarding the time Doeg the Edomite said to Saul, David has gone to see Ahimelech. Psalm 54, for the choir director, a psalm of David regarding the time the Ziphites came and said to Saul, we know where David is hiding. Psalm 57 that we read at the beginning of the service, for the choir director, Psalm of David regarding the time he fled from Saul and went into the cave, to be sung to the tune, do not destroy. And Psalm 18, for the choir director, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. He sang this song to the Lord on the day the Lord rescued him from all his enemies and from Saul. And he sang. Those psalms are breadcrumbs. What was it like for David to go through that? And you can read those Psalms and understand what David is going through. So here's what you and I need to do. Write your story down. Haven't you read a story of what somebody went through? And it gives you courage. And you go, yes. Yeah, if they did that, that's similar to what I'm going through. Maybe it's a poem. Maybe it's a book. Maybe it's artwork. Maybe it's sculpture. Leave something to speak about what you're going through, what you've been through, what God is teaching you. Leave something for those who follow behind. Here's the bottom line. God uses difficulties to make you stronger for what's better. There's something better in the future. There's something better in the future. Many of you know an athlete by the name of Bo Jackson. He received a career-ending injury and was asked that would he choose not to have that injury if he could do that? And he said he would choose to have the injury. He said, I've learned a lot about myself as a result of that injury, and I wouldn't want to live the rest of my life without knowing what I learned in that process. We learn so much in the process of going through difficulties. Let me tell you a story about a man named Clarence. Clarence was a pastor in the missionary church, probably in the 40s or 50s. And back then, at that time in the missionary church, we had a stationing committee. Here's what a stationing committee did. District conference that's coming up next week would last for about a week. And during that week, this stationing committee would meet and they would have a list of all the churches in the district. Now we're a region, but, you know, and they would say, okay, start at the top, you know, this church, who's, you know, Bob's the pastor there. Should Bob stay? No, I think we ought to move Bob, okay? Who should go there? And they would work through all 60 or 70 churches that way during that week. And so at the end of district conference, they would have the report. And in this report, they would read off the list of churches and the pastor that would be there. This would happen on the first Friday in June, and on June 30th, you would move. So it was like, you know, everybody was nervous. What's going to happen? And they would read the list of churches, and they got to Pleasant View Church in Bronson, Michigan, and Clarence had been the pastor there. And they mentioned some other guy's name. And then they get to the bottom of the list, and all the pastors' names who weren't mentioned, they would just say, Clarence, to minister as the Lord directs. You know what that means? Whatever you want it to mean. It means you're fired. And that's where Clarence found himself. Here's a guy who studied, became a pastor, and just... And so he could have gone over in the corner and sucked his thumb and cried a lot. But he didn't do that. He didn't suck his thumb. He knew that God put him here for a purpose. And one of the big things that he had on his heart is that he loved missionaries. And at that time, you know, a missionary would go to the field and there would be very little education or training for them once they got there. And so he thought, you know, he loved radio. And so he thought if he could make tape recorders, and they could, these were reel-to-reel tape recorders. If I could take these tape recorders and I could send a missionary a tape recorder and then every month or so send them some more reels and there'd be more teaching, I could keep these missionaries encouraged and equipped and trained. And so he started building tape recorders in Elkhart, Indiana. And he started a radio station. And he thought, what if we had a really powerful radio station? Like, you know, it would be like a semicircle of towers with like a net over it, and it would send the gospel message into countries where we couldn't set up radio stations. And he set that up. It was called HCJB, Heralding Christ Jesus Broadly. Now it's called Reach Beyond. He started a little radio station called WCMR. I don't know if you've ever heard of WCMR. It's still an AM station in Elkhart, Indiana, but you may know of its sister station, WFRN. You ever heard of that? WCMR stands for Clarence Moore Ruby. Ruby was his wife. Oh, that little tape recorder company? It's now owned by Harman Kardon. It's called Crown International. We have right back there a stack of Crown amplifiers. All the best rock groups and music groups in the country use Crown amps. Clarence Moore. God took him through difficulties, and he did amazing things, and still amazing things are happening through all of those ministries. God is going to use the difficulties in your life to make you better. I don't know how. I just know that's God. Amen? Yeah. God's going to use the difficulties in your life to make you better. Amen? That's right. Here's what I know, that there are a number of you going through difficulties right now. And so what I want you to do, if you're going through a difficulty right now, would you stand up? We're not going to throw stones at you. We'd just like you to stand. Okay. Anyone else? So what do? We gather around those people that are standing. Anyone else? We gather around them and we pray. Would you do that? Look around, see the people that are standing. And let's make sure there are several people praying for each person. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the body of Christ being the body of Christ, being the hands and feet of Jesus. Father, we pray for these who have stood saying they're going through difficulties. God, use that. Use that to do something better. Use that as a platform for your glory, for your power to work and accomplish something that none of us would have imagined. Father, that's what you promise, according to your power that is at work within us. Lord, do that. Thank you for what you're going to do in us, and then what you're going to do through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.